It's 6:18. Good evening. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton is currently in Philadelphia, where she's attending the African Methodist Episcopal Church's Bicentennial Conference as the keynote speaker, being held at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And that's where we find WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Dave.
Set the scene for us.
Hillary Clinton is still speaking to several thousand members of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Their annual quadrennial conference is here, and the mood is somber. You know, the horrific events of the week clearly are dominating the conversations and the feeling here. She's speaking in quiet but firm tones and getting applause. There's not a lot of shouting. There's a sense of gravity about it all.
And Dave, is there any sense of politicking at all, or is it sticking on message?
No, this was really about the events that seem to be tearing, you know, so many communities apart. She began early on by talking about those who had died this week, Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, outside of St. Paul, and then she read the names of each of the police officers who died as a result of the shootings in Dallas, and then she began talking about how do we talk about it. And one of the first things she said was that you simply have to learn to listen. We have communities where kids are torn apart by crime. We have officers who risk their lives going out every day, and we have to learn to listen to one another.
Prior to last night's tragedy in Dallas, there was some notion that she'd be going on to politic with Vice President Joe Biden in Scranton. I understand that's been scratched.
Right, that's right. She was going to be at a rally, and I think the sense was it simply was not the right tone to have a rousing and partisan political message on a day like this when it's a time for grief and reflection. And so, yeah, that has been postponed. And so far she has talked about nothing but the murderous events of the week and what we can and might learn from them. She said we need criminal justice reform. She said we need to have gun control, as she said it, in a country where just talking about background checks can get you demonized. And she's talking about some other steps that need to be taken now, being very, very warmly received by this crowd.
WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies reporting live from the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And in this Newsweek featuring several deaths connected to race, Newsweek's commentator Solomon Jones shares how he felt as he watched the events unfold.
With mounting trepidation, I watched the coverage of the violence. Two black men shot dead by police officers, five police officers killed in the wake of peaceful protest. In each incident, the question of race was front and center. Black civilians, white cops, dark days. My prayers go out to the families of the police officers who died in what President Obama rightly called a vicious, calculated, and despicable act on law enforcement. But when I think of the deaths of those two black men who were shot by police this week, Alton Sterling of Baton Rouge and Philando Castile of Minnesota, I am especially nervous because in those two men, I see myself. I am a black man, after all, and young black men are 21 times more likely to be shot and killed by the police than their white counterparts. That knowledge, hammered home by shaky cell phone footage and police trials that almost always end in acquittals, has cost me a measure of optimism. But even in the face of a system where black lives are too often snatched away by the very people who should be protecting us, I refuse to give in. I refuse to give up. I reject the urge to resort to violence, because it's clear to me now that ending violent police interactions goes beyond just protest. It's well past the limits of politics. It is a battle that requires us to stand fast in the strength of our conviction, to stand up for the power of right, and to stand in for leaders who fall by the wayside when the moment calls out for courage. Killing police officers as vengeance for black deaths is wrong. And on that point, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, I shall not be moved. However, no argument can persuade me that the violent spectacle of two white police officers pinning down Alton Sterling and shooting him six times is justified. And on that point, In the words of the old Negro spiritual, I shall not be moved. I was horrified when Philando Castile, a school cafeteria worker who reportedly was licensed to carry a gun in Minnesota, was stopped by police and killed in a car in front of his girlfriend and her 4-year-old daughter. Castile's girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, sat next to him in that car, live streaming Castile's dying breaths for all the world to see. And when finally she screamed under the weight of the moment, her daughter was forced to console her. It's okay, the child says in the video. I'm right here with you. And like that little girl who showed strength in the midst of anguish, I'm right there with her too. I'll stand until our lives are valued. I'll stand until the shootings stop. I'll stand until justice is done. And in the words of the old Negro spiritual, I shall not be moved. I'm Solomon Jones.
Solomon Jones writes the Philadelphia Experiment blog at newsworks.org. Now only 10 days out from the kickoff of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, and plenty of questions remain about how it'll play out. One thing's for certain, it will be historic. For that, let's look back in time with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Frank, what we're talking about here is historically high, highly unfavorable ratings.
That's right. Our typical way that we ask about the candidates nowadays is binary. By that, I mean we simply say, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or whomever else we want to ask about? But in the old days, Gallup used what we called a scalometer. How's that for a word? Where respondents are given a scale that goes all the way from +5 if you really like the person down to a -5 if you really don't. And since we have those ratings going all the way back to elections in the 60s, we can look at how Trump and Clinton compare to, say, for example, Barry Goldwater. Since he got beat so overwhelmingly by Lyndon Johnson back in 1964, he's a good comparison. And, Dave, the bottom line is Trump and Clinton have higher very negative ratings now than Goldwater did way back in 1964. Trump beats Clinton on this dubious distinction. 42% of Americans right now, when we just gave them the scalometer, put Trump on a -4 or a -5 on that 10-point scale. That's about as unfavorable as you can get. 33% put Hillary Clinton in that -4, that -5 scale. So they're number 1 and 2 in our historical pantheon of nominees that we have looked at. Barry Goldwater, to go back in time, had a 26% in those bottom two boxes, the -4 and -5. So he was a little under Hillary Clinton and quite a bit under Donald Trump. Interestingly, the next two in line were Barack Obama. Back in 2012, in our highly partisan times, he had 24% highly unfavorable. And then George W. Bush, when he was running for re-election in 2004, had 23%.
That the economy is typically the number one issue in the minds of voters, and that you just cited George W. Bush. To what extent do Americans still hold him accountable, as it were, for the economic recession?
Yeah, this is fascinating. By the way, happy birthday to George W. Bush, although he won't particularly like what I'm about to talk about. Dave, he was 70 this week on July 6th. At any rate, we ask, how responsible is George W. Bush for today's current economic problems in the United States? And then we said, how responsible is Barack Obama? And George W. Bush still wins 64. That's 6-4, 64% of Americans say that Bush, even to this day, some 7 years after he left office and went back to Dallas, Texas, is responsible for today's economic problems, and only 50% say that for Barack Obama. So we still have a lot of lingering blame for W. Bush for the economic situation we're in today.
Second to the economy is often dysfunction in government, the problem that voters cite. And with that, Congress is typically bringing up the rear.
That's right. We've done a lot of research on what's behind these very, very negative ratings on Congress. We've talked about it quite a bit. Just another way of getting at it, we said, how much influence over the votes of members of Congress, actual votes, do major donors, lobbyists, party leaders in Congress, and the people in the district back home have? How much influence do the above have on how members of Congress vote? 64% of Americans say major donors have a lot of influence on the vote of members of Congress. 55% say lobbyists have a lot of influence on the votes of members of Congress. And only 14% of Americans say that the people back in the district, the actual constituents that these people are representing, have a lot of influence. So it's just another indication another reinforcement of the fact that Americans think that Washington is broken and that what's happening is that members of Congress are simply in the back pockets of or under the control of people with money.
And then come November, voters dance with the devil they know.
That's right. We always have to say that if people are so negative on Congress, why don't they turn all the members out? But there are a lot of reasons why they don't. Most members of Congress, as we all know, who run for re-election in their districts get re-elected.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight. That's all for tonight's show. Newsworks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas, with additional production this week from Brett Rader. At the helm this week, Diana Martinez and Adam Staniszewski. Our news director is Eugene Song. John Mussoni is acting vice president for news and civic dialogue. Find us on iTunes or listen back at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for Newsworks Tonight.